Start recording.
Do it. I just gotta close the door.
And clicking it now.
Bang, bang.
What up? Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 7 of the Mountain Outpost Pod. I am your co-host, Jam Jam Jamil Curry, and I'm here today with Skizzle Fresh, Skylar Hall.
What is up, sir? How you doing?
We need a sound effects board. I need to upgrade my garland string that's still here from Christmas, wrapped up in my headphones cord. And I actually have a drink today.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Do you have
what do you have? Okay. See, what happened was...
Like, oh, yeah. What's happening?
No. What do you have? Let's start there.
I have a backstory for mine. It's in honor of the dry January. I've got Athletic Brewing Company. This is non-alcoholic IPA. It's called Run Wild. You ever had one of these?
I have not, but I've been getting a lot of Instagram sponsored ads.
And I am not sponsored by them. I've been seeing people getting this, and so I had to try it. I was given one of these types of beers. I don't know if it was this type or a different type, but by a runner. No, it was by a mountain biker at one of our events in November. So I got to taste one. I honestly don't remember if it was this one or a different kind, but this was a total impulse buy at Sprouts. I just saw it and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm like, I don't know. I'm midweek Tuesday night drinking. I'm just not ready for it right now. I've got too much going on. So I figure this will be a good shot. We're going to just try it.
I'm not mad at that. No, that's actually, it kind of dovetails nicely with what I'm currently drinking. So full disclosure, I just got back from my run like 40 minutes ago. And it is a muggy sort of rainy day here in the Bay. So I'm currently working on this protein and roctane shake, which is settling very oddly there. But that's just grape roctane and vanilla protein together. I'm trying to do this thing called drinking less. And so, you know, we're trying to basically drink like 3 days a week. And so it's like Monday for the Bachelor will be like our wine night, and then like Friday, Saturday sort of thing. But I'm also doing macro tracking now.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
Yeah, I know. That's where I'm at, which is terrifying and shocking. I've learned a lot about my diet in the last week. I keep running into this problem where I'm either crazy low on proteins. Apparently, I just never ate enough protein to begin with. So it's amazing that I have any muscles holding up my physical structure. But I also end up like behind on carbs somehow. So I end up just like, well, I guess I'll have like this Budweiser to get an extra like 12 grams of carbs real quick before, you know, the end of the day. So I have it here.
Okay,
this is my cheat beer.
Great,
if we get to it, Budweiser, the king of beers, slash still a domestic trash beer favorite of mine after the beer half marathon. So,
it's still there. And that's amazing that, you know, you're not totally turned off to it. So kudos on that one.
It's just water. It's all it is.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah, I threw back a Miller High Life the other night. So my friend, you've been to the Wandering Tortoise. Mm-hmm. Have you been to the Wandering Tortoise? Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
So my buddy owns that. He owns the Theodore in downtown Phoenix. These, what do you call them? Tap houses, basically. A couple tap houses. He's got a couple restaurants. Hops on Birch and Flagstaff. The Golden Pineapple, the Sleepy Whale. And he just is opening it's a smokehouse bar saloon in Superior, which is like our new favorite spot, the Copper Corridor Trail Runs, rocking the hat here. It's like one of Arizona's best kept secrets in terms of trail running. You've got Arnett Canyon, you've got the Arizona Trail, just really cool desert, old history, mining, Western town. It's like 1 hour exactly from the office here. So I went out there for their grand opening this weekend on Saturday after a long run in the Superstitions, and yeah, caught up with him, and it's good stuff. Give me one second.
Oh, lordy. That's terrifying. Just wanted more light.
We were talking about lighting. We were talking about lighting earlier, and I noticed I didn't have my light on. Well, so now we're good.
Yeah. I've officially sold out for folks who were not on the call, which would be everybody watching or listening to this, I guess. And so if I look up on the video, you can see the ring light reflection. I just don't have a lot of light in my place in any of the rooms, and especially for this sort of setup. And so we're trying to bring a little bit more quality to you, even though this is still just a homegrown podcast of me and Jamil shooting the shit and just ragging on people and our sport. So
yeah, for those of you tuning in for the first time, welcome to our show. 7th official episode, maybe only 5th official and 7th unofficial, who knows. I do want to shout out our live audience. We've got some people on Facebook and YouTube, and I just realized that on one of my screens over here, I can actually view the Facebook and YouTube comments coming in at the same time, which is fantastic. So I got to shout out to those faithful viewers right now. David, Wesley David, Whoop Whoop, JJ Duran Duran, Athletic Brewing is legit. Bright Wolves, hey, I made it. Yakamina Manaika. I'm here live this time. I'm on a cooldown for my run. Perfect timing. We got TLR, Juju Ultra. Hello, everyone. Big up from Asia, Singapore. Kenny Horn, greetings from Northwest Oklahoma. And William Scott, so much better jam. Okay. Oh, with the lighting, probably. And then Brian Purcell is asking, where's Skylar living now?
Fair question. Yeah. No, I'm in the Bay Area. So I'm in Oakland, California. That's where I'm at these days. So it's kind of wild to think about, you know, this channel started almost 5 years ago. Like, we're quickly approaching the 5-year anniversary. And I was only in Arizona for the first 8 weeks that this channel existed. And then I moved to the Bay Area for work. So
we hit it hard.
Yeah, those first 10 episodes were just like bang, bang, bang.
We got after it. Yeah, those were the days. I need to get back on that horse, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was some of the best shape I've ever been in. And then we just started destroying our bodies for the sake of entertainment. And then I got the hell out of the state. Like, how can I save myself? Oh, let me just take this nice job and get the hell out. So I do miss the very flexible schedule that being an independent contractor when we first started this challenge brought about. You know, I mean, we could just film challenges and I'd work late into the night. Don't have that same luxury anymore, which is sort of what jams up our challenge filming schedule. Not to mention, you know, you have a family, I coach, like, things have definitely changed in the last 5 years, because, like, that's life. But yeah, we gotta get back on that challenge grind. And you, based on some text messages you sent me this week, you have some one or multiple things in mind to film sometime soon. So for those who are watching and listening and have been harassing our comments or sliding into IG messages, challenges are coming. I have no idea what the hell they're gonna look like. So this very much feels like 2016 all over again, but we are, I guess, allegedly gonna screw ourselves up somehow.
We gotta do something. Okay. So if you are in the comments, be sure, ask us questions as we go through this. We're gonna jump in and tackle a variety of subjects. Skylar loves to bring in a lot of the track road scene. You're much more tuned into that
genre. It's flatter. Yeah.
The flatter stuff. And I think you're well versed in everything, very well rounded. I am on the stupid end of the stick with the maybe more mountain running stuff. It piques my interest. But we're going to kind of banter back and forth about some things going on in the running world this week. And like I said, taking your questions, your comments, in that chat room. So we've got a couple more comments here. I want to shout out Alan Stark, Northeast Oklahoma. And we've got some fans of the Unicorn Milkshake Challenge definitely here.
People really latched onto that one in a way that I did not anticipate. It was, it's still top three worst days that we've ever had in Mountain Outpost history.
It's pretty tasty. Kind of miss them for sure. Still don't know what the hell we're in those. Libra Dragon, it's raining and windy in Seattle. I just got in and I'm soaked. We get wet, we get dry. All right. So where do we want to jump in this week?
So let's, I think we should start with the thing that's top of mind for everyone, which was the first golden ticket race of the season, Bandera 100K. So if folks were tuning in last week, you know that we have strong opinions on the signup apparatus for Bandera, which is to say it made it impossible to really sort quickly and figure out who was in that race. So we kind of found out at the same time that you all did on Twitter as we were getting updates from the course. So let's dive into that and talk about, you know, who punched their ticket to the 2021 Western States run and any surprises that stood out to you. So I think the first thing that we have to talk about is the tampon in the nose. Like, let's just go straight for it. I regardless of the athletic performance and the fact that she went on to win, I just need to talk about whose idea it was. What aid station angel was out there who had the concept of like, hey, you probably broke your nose. I have this tampon, stick it up there. It'll probably last for the last 20 miles. I would have never had this ingenuity. I don't know what first aid course that they teach that in, but shout out to that aid station volunteer for single-handedly allowing for the greatest race story of 2021. It's going to be difficult to top, but that's got to be automatically a contender for best performance of the year because you only have one functional nostril because the other one's plug with a tampon. So shout out aid station volunteer who made that run possible for Alyssa McDonald to go on and take the victory on the women's side. Ran what, 9:16?
No, I think you might have got the wrong year there.
No.
Right?
No.
Is this Katie Asmuth?
Yes. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
See, I flipped the where it's all
that tricky. Was, I think she won the year before in 2020.
Yes.
I know we still think it's 2020. It's never going to end, but Katie Asmuth is the runner and she fell and broke her nose.
Yes.
2/3 of the way through the race. So like 40 miles in, I'm just going to say. And she says, yes, the story here is she stuffed a tampon up her nose, slowed the bleeding and carried on to run the final 35K. She took the win by more than 10 minutes, 9:25.
There it is. Yes.
Yeah. So, and she, I don't know that I've heard her name before, but Katie Asmuth, she has a stout resume. I guess it's not super long, but she ran her first 50K in 2015 and then was kind of quiet for a few years. She was second at Angeles Crest 100 Mile in 2018 and then first at the Bear 100 in 2019. Mm-hmm. And second at the I Am Tough 100 miler in 2020. So really coming into her own at the 100 mile distance. So I would say her earning that spot at Western States, no doubt you have to have a lot of grit to win those races. And she should make her way. That's going to probably, she's going to be known at least for this year as this is going to be her tale, you know? So we're all going to know Katie's name now in the sport, I guess, thanks to that extra little story about grit and always interesting.
And it's what's interesting to me is, you know, you read down that resume. Those are a lot of like hard rock qualifier races. And so like those are like not just like I went and ran a 100-mile race because I think I'm good at that distance. Those are like insane. So I'm interested to see what she's going to do at a Western States type of event. And then if she's going to be putting her hat into the ring for future Hard Rock editions and which one of those she's actually stronger at. Because clearly she's got a whole mental fortitude in a class of its own at this point. I think she'll do both very well. It'll be interesting to see if she excels at one type of race over the other. And she still cracked the top 10 overall, with that finish there at 9:25, second place on the women's side, Aaron Clark, I will go ahead and say like young buck, I think, you know, showing up, lists her at age 26. I have no idea, what her backstory was before this race. But to slide in and snap up that second golden ticket to the big dance at Western States. Very strong showing for her. This is your umbrella. So I'm sure you're getting an ultrasound.
20. How old is she?
26.
26. I'm trying to see an ultrasound. Is it E-R-I-N-C-L-A-R-K?
That is correct.
There's a lot of Aaron Clarks out there. Yeah, a lot of different ages. So there's like 10 of them. So we're not really sure her background or which Aaron Clark she is. She could be the one that got 12th at the Yeti 100 mile. Or there's a 44-year-old Aaron Clark that has like a huge list. So I have no idea. I guess time will tell. Yeah.
On Ultra Running Mag, she has two results listed. This Bandera result and then I don't speak Spanish. We've been over this before. El Vaquero Loco.
Vaquero Loco.
There you go. 50K in 6:16 for eighth overall. Let's dig into that. That was a race that was won by Lauren Davis in 5:12 on the men's side. So not the fastest 50K. And she won that
last year,
August 1st.
Right there, yeah. So basically has one result on Ultra Sign Up. And then, has her Western States that she's in it. So it'd be a bit of a wild card. Looks like probably first 100 miler jumping on up. Pretty cool.
What's the worst that could happen, right? So that's pretty much how it shook out on the women's side. Third place was Emily Haugud, 9:56.52, so just 20 minutes behind Aaron there. So a little bit spread out on the women's side, but still definitely competitive at the pointy end of the race. But on the men's side, another. I'm going to go ahead and say surprise. Ryan Miller taking the victory in 8:10.08 in his first ultra ever, which apparently is just a thing that's happening nowadays. The Olympic marathon trials qualifier, I think he qualified for the trials in like 2:14 and change, and then comes to Bandera and it's his longest run ever and crushes it. Absolutely. Winning by 3 minutes over Cody Lind in 8:13. So two pretty spry folks. One that we've seen on the block for a little bit and another one out of nowhere. Both punching their ticket to Western States.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like I went back and saw Ryan's Instagram post about the race and just like the raw emotion that he has, like his tossing his bottles in the air and just like,
yeah, his finish line was impressive. That's like, I mean, that's what you want to see at a golden ticket race. You want to see that elation, that victory, that celebration. I mean, that to me is what the golden ticket experience is. And I know that term is being co-opted for like the backyard stuff now, but you know, it's pretty cool to see, to punch a ticket, to get into, you know, the world's oldest, kind of most famous 100 miler out there, Western States. It's a great story. And I love the fact that anyone can line up and race for it. It's something that I'm stoked our sport has that. It has that way to kind of race your way in, prove yourself. Love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it meets the community atmosphere that we set out, you know, where it's you're on the same starting line as the elites. You're hanging out at the finish line with everyone, you know, having some barbecue or just like at the post-race celebration. And to be able to race your way into the top echelons of the sport and have a chance to be on that starting line, that's definitely something that's very special to the ultra community. So shout out to those two guys. Also got to shout out Craig Curley in third place, 8:25 finish for him. So just 12 minutes back of Cody. So definitely very competitive on the front end of that. Yeah, you know, Bandera is one of those races where it can be super muddy. You got people, what was it, 2 years ago, Matt Daniels like got the concussion and dropped out. You got, you know, I think
well, Highland Running Club says he was scraped from a fall as well.
Yep.
And then and Brian Purcell says if you don't have scrapes at Bandera, you didn't do it right. So it sounds, you know, it's I think they have the saying like the trail bites back at Bandera, something like that. Like it's just overgrown and scratches you up a bit.
So yeah, it's just one of those crazy races that, you know, it takes a certain type of individual to apparently finish and do well at. So we'll.
There were a lot of big names that dropped. Like Daniels dropped this year, mid race. We had the Bellis brothers who are on the Air Viper Racing team. They both dropped out. So, I mean, even just getting to that finish line is tough at this race, I guess. I haven't been out there before.
I wonder if there's something, you know, that sort of happens because. My understanding is it's a two loop course, right?
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like you go through it once and you're like, I have to do that whole damn thing again. Sort of the same way that at a Javelina.
Yeah. You got to go back out there. Yep.
I wonder if that, you know, just mentally takes a toll on some folks. You know, you're like, it's only one more loop, but I got to deal with all of those conditions again. It's, it's something to ponder, but shout out to everyone who handled their business this weekend. Some folks in the 50K on Sunday as well, which apparently was also just wild conditions. Saw Corey Woltering.
Yeah.
Just jacked, like all of his legs were just mud. Saw some stuff on Instagram about that. So sounds like some folks had some fun. And now we turn our attention golden ticket wise to you, sir.
Yeah, we should get to that. Okay. I do want to shout out Davey Crockett. He's in the Facebook chat room right now. A little news for you. Legendary Pam Reed going for her 100th 100-mile finish February 6th at the Grandmaster Ultras in Littlefield, Arizona. Pretty sweet.
There it is.
All right, so I got some – this is like behind-the-scenes info a bit. So, yeah, Black Canyon next up on the golden ticket – roster. We've got two more races this year. Of course, we have the rollovers from a bunch of the events last year. We've got Black Canyon coming up in a little over a month, so 4.5 weeks. And then we've got Canyons, if it happens, in May, I think. Is that right?
Might be late April, but yeah.
Something like that. We're at Black Canyon right now. I think we're sitting around between the 100K and 60K, which we're spreading it over 2 days. Wave starts, so there's going to be 50 people on the track at one time, starting spaced out on the track there, heading out in like 15-minute increments. And we've got 700 between the two so far. It's still open. You can still register. You can check out all of our COVID protocols there. We put out an elite wave request because we didn't want to miss anyone, right? We want to make sure we get all the dark horses, everyone to jump in. And I mean, so we got like 400 something people in the race right now. Guess how many people have requested it and like submitted their resumes?
126.
Damn it. 80. Still impressive.
No, it's still a lot.
Like, really, you're like guessed way over, like 300. But 80 people. And I'm like scrolling through this list. It's like, it's an impressive list of people. Like the very first one here, Michael Eaton. He's a track guy. 1 mile personal best, 409. 5K best, 13:51. 10,000 meter, 28:41. Marathon, half marathon, 103. Marathon best, 218. Pretty sweet.
Really covered the bases there on, hey, what sort of information do you want for a 100K race? Let me give you my.
That's like one to get, like 103 half marathoner. Okay. Right to the front of the line.
Oh, no, fine.
He's done 150K so far. So, anyways.
All right. Yeah. So I just pulled this up. So former University of Louisville athlete, looks like he was let's see. Yeah. Yeah, he ran a
university.
Did qualify for NCAAs in the 10K. Didn't have the greatest day there, but otherwise, yeah, that 10K PR 29:14 set it the East prelims back in 2011. So maybe one of the folks who tried to do the track thing for a while right after college and slowly move their way up, often like we see in the American system. So we'll see. Yeah, I haven't seen him in.
He ran 218 at the trials in Houston in 2020,
which wasn't the easiest course. So take off like 2.5 minutes there. So he's really like a 215, 216 guy.
Cool. I'm just going to kind of go through some of these other ones. We've got Ben Koss, golden ticket winner at the Gorge 100K in 2017. He's been top 10 three times at Lake Sonoma 50. Seth Ruling, JFK 50-mile champion in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Lavison, 1852 at Western States, 1808 at San Diego 100. We've got Alexander Pollock. He's a college runner, 240 marathoner. I mean, you never know, like someone like that. Oh, Devin Yanko. She's put her name in the hat here. Justin Grunwald. Let's see. We've got Callan Kahn.
Yeah. The one of the FKT or Performance of the Year candidates.
2020 50K road national champion, 2020 50 mile trail championship, third place, Portland Marathon champion in 2019. Jesse Cardoza was top 10 at Black Canyon last year. Connor Fisher, he's a collegiate guy here, 14:06 for the 5K, 30:09 for the 10K. I don't know if he's run an ultra, 52 for the 10 mile, so. You love to see it, right?
People are really just shooting their shot right now. You know, this is all Scott Fobel's fault. You know, he went on like Sidious Magpod or something like that and said really? Wanted to, he could take top 10 at Western States this year. And now we got all these flat guys who are like, yeah, all right, cool. Well this is their, he's not going to do it, then let's go.
One
for
of
it.
The only ways in, right?
I mean, yeah, unless you want to dedicate yourself to running a qualifier every single year to bank your tickets. So
right.
Might as well one and shoot your shot in one go and see if you got it in a year where there's not a lot of racing and you probably just have been building your base for the last 6 months. All right. Why not?
There's got to be some other good ones here. Let's see. Nick Hilton. Has he?
Why does that sound familiar?
He's a marathoner. Okay. Flagstaff.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of these aren't formatted well. 2018 and 2020 Walt Disney World Marathon winner, 217 and 222. 2016 and 2020 Olympic Marathon qualifiers. Oh, he was a pacer at the Marathon Project. He was a women's pacer and ran 226 comfortably.
So he's in shape. That's good to know.
Yep. Let's see here. Yeah, so we got some. Oh, it looks like we've got a Olympic marathon trials woman, 242 marathoner, also Spartan champ for the trail half, I guess. Looking to qualify for Western States. So it's gonna be good. I don't know if we want to go through all these. Callie Imagine, who was third place at Javelina 100.
Mm-hmm.
We got another first place at the Georgia Death Race last year, I guess. So, yeah, it's going to be good. I think that's – I don't want to drone on forever here. we'll definitely – I'm sure we're going to get more entrants. I mean, we already talked about Jim Walmsley being on the list, so that'll be something to watch. It is post Carbon X. Ooh, I've got some Carbon X 2 news. We did already talk about that, right?
I mean, we brought up that it's happening, but
Yeah.
We haven't gone too deep into it, but finish the first shot. I mean, we have like a month till Black Canyon. We'll do some preview.
We'll get more to Black Canyon. Once I think the list consolidates a little bit more and we kind of figure out and can do some analysis to kind of give you guys maybe the top 10 favorites, men and women, as we kind of build up there.
Did you need more people on media crew? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, so I think I've been kind of getting people coming at me from a few different things. I think I'm going to actually go and create a volunteer sign up so I can manage where the communication takes place. So I'm going to add a section to race day coverage on the Black Canyon Volunteer. I know Charlie Seymour here is in the chat. I see him just commenting. I think he's going to be helping out. There was a couple other guys helping out. So if you want to join the video crew, please, we will be having that on the, just go to Black Canyon Ultra's website, find the volunteer link. I'm going to add it tonight after the show. I'll make a note of that. And Charlie in the chat here says, Coldwater is an easy course, right? I think it's deceivingly tough, tougher than Javelina maybe in a different way. So, but it won't be hot. Yeah. So that'll be nice.
If I remember the course correctly, it's Coldwater is the one that has that like crazy steep hill that's like half a mile long and rocky as hell. I mean, I guess that describes like half of Air Viper races, but
yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm a good judge of crazy steep, but yeah, sure. There's a couple climbs in there for sure. And it's definitely can be rocky in some places. To me, it seems smooth, but Kevin Hatfield says it's pretty flat, but damn rocks. Probably sums it up nicely.
Cool.
It's the desert. I mean, you're going to have rocks. You're going to have some hills. You're going to have some sand and all the above. So I'm jumping into the 50K, by the way, 52K.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to race my way in the shape. So my brother's running it as well. So that'll be sweet.
Right on. I actually freaked out for a second because on Instagram, either yours or the Air Viper one, Air Viper Instagram account had the finisher awards for Coldwater, and it had your name engraved with a time. And I was like, wait, did he race and I missed it? Forgetting that the race had not even happened yet.
They're trying to predict my time. Yeah, it might've been like a past year's time or something. I'm not sure.
I mean, that's fine. But that should be exciting. So we'll be sure to Strava stalk you this weekend and see how you do.
Make sure that I'm doing it and make sure I hit like 80 miles for the week. That'd be great. I had a pretty cool adventure. I filmed a Steep Life episode. I did the half of the Superstition Ridgeline Traverse with my brother on Saturday. It was super fun. You climb up the Flatiron and then you're across this ridge top. We didn't go all the way cause it requires a car shuttle. Instead we dropped down and looped back for it was like 19 miles, but we're out there for like 5.5 hours. A lot of burnout up there. They had some crazy fires. So it's like all kind of charred and just ash everywhere, kind of sad to see, and we just haven't had any rain, so there's been no regrowth yet, but I'm sure once it rains probably have some epic mudslides and then some stuff will regrow again. So I don't know.
We have very different training going on right now. It feels like I did a long road climb that was 15 some odd miles. I could say road loop. It had like 1600 feet of climbing. It was just like into the hills of Oakland. But it felt like hot death and we probably equally suffered on that. So yeah, I think we're both getting in shape, buddy. This could be,
this could be our year. I resubscribed to Training Peaks. Got my weekly goals. I'm trying to build my plan. My brother is my accountability partner. Maybe this podcast is an accountability partner. Get me through the week. And I went out and got my 3 miles in today. So maybe a little bit less than I'd hoped for the day, but we had a long run this weekend. So it's going to be good times. What was I going to say? I was going to talk. Can we jump into Carbon X real quick? I got some news on that.
We can do whatever the hell we want. Yeah.
Go for it. We got approached by the company that's helping Hoka to put on the race or the event, whatever. It is a race, it's an event, the attempt, whatever. And it sounds like myself and some of our team here at Air Viper Running are going to be helping to staff the event. So I'm going to be there, which is really exciting. I'm sure I'm not going to be able to probably post much, but it's going to be live streamed, so check it out. But I'll be, I think, either on a bike or in a truck before or after the runners. So I'm pretty excited about that, to be part of this. It's going to be a good time. Just, yeah, being staff for it. It's going to be cool. Hopefully witnessing history.
Oh, so, yeah. 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 I mean, it should be.
Camille just got into town, so she's probably getting used to the heat.
Yeah, it was. I was very confused as to why she was hanging out in like Santa Rosa and Healdsburg, like around the Lake Sonoma course. I mean, don't get me wrong, like it's a beautiful enough area and whatnot. But I was like, that's just kind of a weird spot to hang out for the end of December, early January. So I'll be interested to see what her race plans are after Carbon X and after Black Canyon, question mark. But yeah, I think she's going to have a very honest experience.
I don't know if, is she on the list? We'll see, have to see. Maybe she's going to wait to see how she feels.
True. I've done a lot of Instagram stalking over the past week, and so I didn't want to go too deep into this rabbit hole. But she, when you guys posted like a call out for volunteers for Black Canyon, she, and it featured a photo of her. And she was like, yeah, I'm looking forward to Black Canyon. I was like, are you looking forward because you're running it or just because you enjoy the race? So we'll have to do some investigation, a mountain outpost investigation, and then we'll come back.
Ooh, I like that. Could be a new show. Mountain outpost investigation. Dun, 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 dun. We got a jingle.
It's like 48 hours, but worse.
when is Carbon X? It's a week from Saturday. Damn.
Already? Up. Yeah.
Because, yeah, we got Coldwater this weekend. Then we got Carbon X next weekend. Then we got the birthday weekend. Then we got Elephant Mountain 50 Mile. Also signed up for that one.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm just going to do that one every single year forever. Like until...
It is a great course.
Until the ultimate DNF day of life.
Yeah, oh, morbid.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Okay. steer out of that. Okay. Cool. And then I'm looking forward to Black Canyon. I'm looking forward to seeing you for Black Canyon.
Absolutely.
And I feel if I throw it out on the podcast that I'm only commentating and I refuse to be on course, then you have to put me in the booth. So,
so you're going to be in this room right here.
That's my hope.
Yeah.
That's my plan. Yeah, I had to go into a pretty aggressive negotiation because Black Canyon also falls on Valentine's Day weekend and anniversary weekend. Those are not the same day for me, but they're right there in the same weekend block, and flying to Phoenix or traveling to Phoenix for that.
Probably not.
It was not a great look. So I had to, it was a strong negotiation, but I got there. I think I finally got to a place where I can be in Phoenix and help you out. So looking forward to commentating and spectating and bringing the now that we got all these damn track and marathon athletes, I might actually be of utility when it comes to research.
You're going to have to be part of the research team. I just got a new drone controller from DJI that allows you to take an HDMI feed out of the drone. And then, yep. Yeah.
Okay.
So, shh. Don't tell anyone. Hey, shout out 60 people viewing. What up? That's like double, I think, any other show. So that's exciting.
Yeah. We're on the come up, guys. Consistency. Apparently it works. So here we are.
Yep. Oh, Gems in the House, our 500 mile in 10 day champion of across the globe. Shout out, welcome.
Also, I realize for those who are watching on YouTube, it looks like I'm bouncing a lot. It's because I'm also actively rolling my planner at the moment. So I apologize. You're probably now going to not be able to unsee that, but trying to stay healthy. It's part of that whole 2021 new year, new you, Operation Big Dog Run, no bones about it. So. Okay. I was like, now I just rambled. So let's get back on track.
And we also got to shout out Kevin Hadfield. Also, I think he ended up with 494. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. He was leading, I think, most of the way across the globe. So these guys, these mega athletes here in our amongst the chat room, I love seeing it.
Crazy ultra runners, they're just like us.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully we can all like battle it out in person sometime again. That would be great.
we'll do it in December 2021. It's fine.
For sure. For sure. Do we have some more topics for the week? I know we
do. Of course we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course we do. So let's do a little bit of update on sponsorship moves. So last week, and just as a new year and a new calendar year comes about, a lot of contracts end, folks start moving around. It was another busy week of movement, specifically in the run flat world. I still think we're going to see some ultra moves soon, but have not come about yet. But since last week, we had Ryan Hill, former multi-time qualifier to the U.S. Championships in the 5K, left Bowerman and Nike, heading over to Flagstaff and to join up with Hoka NAZ Elite. So it's another get for Hoka and for the crew in Flagstaff specifically. Talked about Aisha Pratt Lear, the Under Armour athlete. Allegedly, we're hearing rumors she's going to be signing with Puma. Same thing with Molly Seidel. Still waiting for that Puma news to drop. So, you know, Puma, who has not been doing much of anything in terms of distance running, you know, other than like Usain Bolt and the Jamaican sprint team, you know, you don't hear a lot of Puma athletes, but I think this might be the year they're finally going to do something big in the distance world. So stay tuned on that. And then Andrew Bumbleow, also Nike and Bowerman Track Club, like OG guy, like one of the first to join what became Bowerman Track Club. He announced his retirement this week as well, going into the coaching world, not necessarily in the Nike outfit, just sort of to the general public and all of us everyday runners out there. So so those were some of the big moves over the past week. I think still waiting to hear on Drotty. I heard that his Saucony deal, his contract ended at the end of 2020. Not sure if that's been re-upped yet.
He's got some bargaining power now.
He definitely has some bargaining power. It's weird because the marathon trials are the one trials that have already occurred and the team is set. So unless he's going to turn his sights to the 10K and try to qualify down there, there might not be as much of an allure this year, just because he wouldn't be competing in what's going to be the largest track race of the year. But we'll see what happens there. Yeah, Kate Grace left Bowerman Track Club, but she's still with Nike. And yeah, honestly, we're just kind of waiting on this Puma outfit. And if something actually ends up happening in North Carolina specifically, if there becomes this new super training group that happens out there. So those were a lot of the big ultra moves, sponsor moves that occurred in the past week, but we'll keep folks in the know as those continue to shake out. I still have questions about Nike Trail. I don't know what the hell's happening there, but we've seen some people say that they are still.
Rumors. I don't know that anything's been announced. I've heard some rumors that Kraft is making a push into Trail Ultra. So of course, I think the main Kraft athlete is like Tommy Rivers Pewee. He's been with them for a bit and maybe helped pave the way for that. But I've heard some rumors that's happening. So
okay,
we'll see. I got some news. I'm proud to announce I'm sticking with Team Salomon for 2021. So I guess we can officially announce that right here. Woo!
I wonder
Gary Robbins also. I saw that. My boy Gary.
So it's basically like half of the Barkley field is going to be rocking Salomon.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Basically it.
It's good to know.
Yeah. Guillaume, I don't know if he's going to make it over this year from France. Makes me very sad. We'll have to see. Barkley might be crewless this year, which would be very interesting. I think that would be kind of appropriate and pretty badass.
Appropriate and damn near impossible.
I saw Jared Campbell finish without a crew. He came, he like made 5 peanut butter jelly sandwiches like the night before, put them in little bags, boom, took off, and 5 loops later, got it done. for like the second time.
You would have to be hyper org, like the amount of attention to detail, because you're going to come in after like loop three with no sense of your organizational system that you set up. Like, hey, I put all my stuff in a toolbox, but you're not gonna know where the hell anything's at in that thing. And then to have the wherewithal to be like, not only do I know exactly where it's at, but I know exactly what I need, and then turn around and take it out with me.
Like, you just gotta get through two loops, and then all the dropped runners will just become the crew, I think, is what's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like if I, you know, for some reason went, dropped out after one or two, I would stick around till the bitter end and help whoever needed it.
Yeah, I don't think people are making plans to go out there and have flights booked for, you know, 72 hours later. Like, folks are planning on staying out there for the entire time.
Yeah, you take a week. I don't know where this tangent was going. We were talking about sponsors. So yeah, I guess we'll keep, I think January, like we'll keep up with the sponsor moves probably for the month. And I'm sure it'll probably all shake out by the end of this month.
Yeah. Well, to some degree, yes. But then there's also thinking through the ultra side, there are a lot of these folks who are, just going through what we saw at Bandera and what you listed for Black Canyon, like there are some folks who are going to be coming out of the woodworks that might end up with a mid-year sponsor deal. Maybe it's only like product or something, but you know, thinking of the Mako Nike signing like just before Western States, we could see something very similar in the ultra side. It just kind of depends on what these shorter distance folks moving up, what they accomplish. But also, I have no idea what some of these companies' contracts look like right now, because they might not be sponsoring events in the same way. So they saved a bit of money on that side, but they also.
Yeah, I mean, some might be making cuts or moving budgets around, all kinds of things that could be happening behind the scenes. We did have a question here from Yaka Mina Monica. Are you guys planning on having guests on the podcast?
See, when you say planning, that assumes that there's a lot of forethought that goes into this. And that doesn't exist. So I'm not opposed to it.
It could exist. We've
literally never talked about it.
But what do you think? I think that could be fun.
Yeah, I'd be down.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, this all started as an opportunity for like me and you to catch up.
Yeah.
And we just sort of like cover important things that are happening, or at least things that we think are important. Just because we need a through line. Otherwise, it's just people watching us banter about our respective lives, which serves a purpose, but might get boring for folks. So yeah, we can get guests on. I'd be down for that.
Sure. I guess, who do you guys want to see? What guest do you want? I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, if we got someone that was, there's something interesting that went down, some controversy, you know?
Or they want to start a controversy. Like, I'm down to start.
Come on, state your beef. Let's start a war. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll tell you the top three running YouTubers that I cannot stand. And like, I'm just kidding. let's not start that.
The private post show. Are we talking about that?
No, people know how I feel about individual personalities. So no, sorry. The way I said that made it sound like that was also directed at specific YouTube people. No, my friends know that there are just certain types of personality individuals. When they present a certain energy around me, I'm like, I can't deal with this for long periods of time.
There's only like three running YouTubers, so we already know who they are. So
there really isn't. There's so much new YouTube content where it feels like.
Well, I was checking out, I was digging in after last week's show. You were telling me about all the, like a whole bunch of people that I had never really watched before. So I've subscribed to some new content. I somehow ended up on Ali Ostrander's YouTube channel, which is fairly new. It's
fairly new. Yeah.
Four videos in.
She started dating the athlete special and like
that's right are. And now they're all vlogging, so here we go. Nancy Hobbs says, if a record is set at Carbon X, guest time. Yeah, it's like we'll be like 100th in line probably, unless we can get them on right afterwards. It's gonna be like everyone's gonna be wanting them on their podcast.
I mean, there's also a consideration here that, you know, Mountain Outhouse News is still going to come back.
Are we talking about that now? I'm going to record the first episode of 2021 right after this show. So
there you go. And you put it out there. So now I didn't put the timeline on it. You did. But which I was going to say that, you know, in my mind, because this is a thing I think about on my runs before the pod, is like, I don't want to necessarily step on what the news program is going to be, even though obviously we'll touch on some of the same topics as well as many more in this long form, because we have six times as long to chat. But I think of like Outhouse News is like your bread and butter cape.
Yeah,
it's like the very tight 10 like news program you see on your network TV. And then the podcast is like cable news without as much slander. So like it's the long form, more opinion based. Like we'll bring out some facts.
We could evolve to have more slander as time goes on, though, you know?
Yeah, that's what we need. That's what we need to introduce. More hate. More hate in this world, because that's what we've been missing.
I think our guests, like, I mean, I think the benefit to guests is we can reach new audience, right? Like if we were able to get these, if we were talking strategy here, we would get other running YouTubers as guests. So like Ali Ostrander or who's the guy that you turned me on to that has the popular vlogs, the guys in Phoenix now, right now training for training camp.
Morgan McDonald.
That's right. Like we would get him to jump on and we would talk about, I don't know him that well, other than I saw his vlog and he's kind of funny.
He is quite entertaining. Oh, yeah. Which also we didn't talk about this, but that vlog about the fact they have a training camp verified the Instagram stalking that I had done earlier this week. So just so we're all fully clear, stalking,
apparently.
So, okay. So for those who aren't, and Maya and Jamil's text chat. We were talking about runners who are currently training in Phoenix, like in training camp or just like to get away. And like, you know, somebody posted they're running on the canal. Like these are just things that we look at the photos and know exactly where that person is running. So we were going back and forth on that. And I was like, okay, you had said somebody from Team Boss. I forget exactly which one it was. But you're like, oh, you're like she's running in Phoenix right now. And I pulled it up and then I saw her story and I was like, oh, but then she sent this donut cake to another team member. And that guy who's in the photo there is like the boyfriend of this other team member. So I think like the entire training group might be in Phoenix. And like, it was like four levels of Mountain Outpost investigation. I guess that was the first edition. And then of course, Morgan McDonald drops the vlog like yesterday or today that yes, they are indeed doing a training camp in Phoenix. And so I was validated.
They're getting away from Boulder, right? That's where they train. I'm trying to like get all the different families of runners and houses, the track houses. And we're going to form these ultra houses. Well, not the ultra house, but
that already exists.
Kofuzi is a run flat stay low YouTuber. That would be a cool one. He does. Okay.
Yeah.
You know him?
I don't know him, but like I'm familiar with him.
Stuff. But he does a Monday mukbang and eats random foods. That'd be funny to do, bring him on and we could do one. That'd be great.
That could be kind of our jam.
Is this
Chicago?
Could be. I think this has some legs. I think we get other running YouTubers on would be funny. It'd be fun. Like of all varieties, all different varieties, all different backgrounds. That would be kind of interesting. Cause we don't want to do just like, I mean, there's a lot of podcasts and like anytime someone does something big, I think we do like the anti of that. We just do like whoever will come on.
It's like, listen, we're here to shoot the shit. Like, you don't want to say anything inspirational. That's fine.
Anyways, we're going to evolve this and we appreciate you guys and we're getting some good suggestions. So we've got a lot of running, drop other running YouTubers. I mean, we want to please our audience. Obviously we also want to get new. There's there's like a running beer mile podcast now. Did you see that?
Oh, the beermile.com guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, who I don't like. They were doing an interview with Ryan Hill, that I tried to watch a little bit of today, just because I was interested in how he made that move to NAZ Elite. And they don't look old enough to be able to drink. So, I mean, sounds like maybe I'm just officially old. I know, right? But yeah, no, there's a lot of content, a lot of people out there doing things, which is, I mean, good for the sport, I think. You know, it's just, running isn't a sport that is notorious for marketing itself well.
We should get like the videographer from Tin Man Elite. That'd be cool. That'd be fun.
That would actually be really entertaining.
Seth James Damore, Sage Kanadeh, Kafuzi, Nick Simmons.
I had that random file of me talking to Nick Simmons at that like 2017 U.S. Championships or whatever it was.
You were, what was that again?
I have something. So I went, it was actually, it was when U.S. Championships were the same week as Western States. And so while I was on my way to go meet you, I went and like watched 4 hours of U.S. Championships, which also ended up being Nick Simmons' final race before retiring. And like, I ended up talking to him for like a hot second after the race and then got in a car and drove the rest of the way to.
Do you know who Ben Parks is?
The name is familiar. Yes.
Yeah, I've never heard of him, but there's like multiple Ben Parks suggestions. And then there was a Miller versus Hawks reunion. Like, does that mean to get Zach Miller and to get Hayden Hawks on the podcast?
Do we want them to?
Has that ever been done is the question. Like,
they're the two of them on the same podcast? Probably not.
That would be interesting. I like it.
There is a way to pull this off, which is like in early quarantine, there are a lot of athletes in the like track world who are going back and commentating over their old races and saying like, here's what was going on and all that. Ooh. We could theoretically get them involved with.
That would be cool. Get them on, play it. And then like everyone can just commentate. That's a great idea. Morgan McDonald recently started a cool running channel. We were just talking about him. Mm-hmm. Ninja Runner. I'm going to put this to Twitter. I think this is going to be fun. I think we're going to do it. And maybe I don't know if it's every episode or if we just, or we do those independently of this weekly catch up. That'd be sweet. I think it has to happen.
We have a lot of things we got to talk about for the channel. So we'll add this into our running commentary
a little bit. Get some. Yeah. People are asking for some Spartan racers. Like okay, Ryan Atkins. We actually know quite a few of those.
Two things on this. One, I was wondering, and so I guess I'll just throw it out to the group now. You know, if there are other sports or like running adjacent sports that you guys also care about, because like personally, like I'll follow triathlon. And you know, there's like, it was like Nick Bear is like doing this like marathon and triathlon thing, and like Lionel Sanders and the PTO, like there are a bunch of folks who are doing cool triathlon things on YouTube, but then obviously also competitive athletes. But then you have like the whole Spartan world, the OCR world.
Said a cycle over vegan cyclist.
Okay.
That's a YouTube channel, like 60,000 subs or something. Says good production value. So cool.
We got to get Hunter. You know, I feel like we really underutilized Hunter for the one time we had him for that challenge that I like nose bled out of. Because I didn't have a tampon at the time to stick up there. Apparently.
Like Amelia Boone and Olympic swimmer
Caroline Burkle.
That was nuts. That's like an underappreciated just video of like. Oh, and Rory Bozio, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was what?
Dude, you tell me. I had like the stomach flu the day before. I show up and you're like, we're doing this challenge with all of these people. And I'm like,
Miller Hawks. All right. That was like right after Miller Hawks.
It was literally the day after, yeah.
And we did the other challenge. We filmed like 18 videos that weekend.
We did too. It was back to back weekends.
Back to back days. Quad-Dipsy.
We had Quad-Dipsy the week before. So we literally filmed 6 videos in an 8-day period.
Dude. Savage. That's all I have to say. We got Nick Barre. I don't know. There's all these suggestions. So, okay. We love this. More of this. We want collabs. We need collabs. This is going to be great.
I mean, and if you're somebody who makes content, you can also just like reference yourself.
Reference
like, in the comments after the fact, whatever. We're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we have some things to talk about. So we'll. Yes. And if you're listening to this after the fact, the comment section is still open below. So drop your thoughts in there on this and all topics.
Oh,
and while you're doing that, hit that like and subscribe button. Bang, bang.
I do have to point out, we did fix, am I pointing in the right direction? Nope, this way. We fixed that little annoying, so it's just the Mountain Outpost logo. There's still the dots up here that are like going a little bigger, but they're less annoying and they're slower. So hopefully we will reduce the distractions for you and it's better. Frozen Ed. They're asking for Frozen Ed now. We're going.
Yeah, that I don't know. So.
All right, this is good. Let's pivot from that discussion. That was good. We did some market research.
Just like in the middle of it, just like right in the middle of the show.
This whole thing's just random and it's not unscripted because there is there's a topic list that you text me and then you kind of keep track. This is good.
Something like that.
Something.
Yeah.
I like the off the cuff bantering more than anything. So, and we were starting to dip, but we're still at 60 strong here. So, you know, we're doing something right.
Cool. I like it. But again, if you guys have topics that you want us to talk about, or specific questions that you want us to answer, I normally put a call out on Instagram the day before we film this and I sort of compiled them, in my notifications and there are some weird ones in there, I will admit, but then there are some ones that are fair game. So so you can send them there or obviously you can drop them in the comments if you're watching this after the fact, or if you're in the live chat, throw them in there and I think we should just start dedicating like a specific live chat Q&A at the end, just like rapid fire.
Absolutely. So we got one right here. Hey there, what do you guys, and this was the second time that it was asked, so I apologize, I missed this earlier, but sometimes we can't get to them all. What do you guys think about projects like Running the Wall, which is all the Berlin Wall celebration from Solomon, where trail running and history and culture interact? Thoughts?
Well, I think it's, let me caveat this with, it's very dependent on what historical component we're looking at. But I'm always going to be a fan of understanding history and its impact on current events and how we've come to be in our respective communities. So if it highlights those sorts of things in any way, shape, or form, I'm for it. If it's just like, let's go run the Great Wall of China for the sake of running the Great Wall of China and to say we did it, I'm not going to have as high feelings about it as, hey, like, let's learn about how, you know, the Berlin Wall came to be and like there's like a tie-in, you get like educational materials. If it's going to be a promo video, you have like actual educational snippets like dropped into to the larger media component and enterprise. So yeah, I'm a fan of all of that. We don't do a ton of that. Well, that's not true. I think the old Solomon TV videos or episodes were pretty good about this. So like the history of Mount Marathon, for instance, like that's when it jumps to mind.
I mean, the whole Solomon TV, that's always been about storytelling and you know, whether it's like the Kroger's canteen, they're kind of diving in deep to that. So, they're trying to pull in other stuff. I think it's great. I think it's awesome when you can kind of cross over with trail running and how it impacts, you know, people's lives or making a difference in some way. I think it's great. You know, I mean, we all love, you know, like the highlight reels and all that kind of stuff, but learning someone's story, learning history and past and culture, I think I'm all for it. I think we need more of it.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we need to actually work on is, so President Jonathan Nez of Navajo Nation, every year they do, this year obviously being a bit weird, but every year they typically do like a run across the nation, which is supposed to highlight diabetes and its higher impact rate on American Indian and Native Alaskan populations. But it also, for their, I believe it's 150th anniversary of the Trail of Tears, they try to do one across like the actual Trail of Tears. That's one of those things where, you know, combining running and specifically his run up, his love of running, because he is himself an ultra runner, done a bunch of Arequipa events, you know, combining that with the Navajo Nation's history was a really interesting story to follow. It obviously didn't get like a crazy media thing on YouTube or whatnot, but you know, seeing those sorts of tie-ins for specific communities is something that, as like running writ large, would be a nice thing to highlight more often. So me and you need to connect with him.
We got some people talking. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, he's a running YouTuber, so.
And an elected official, and you know, he's got a lot of things on his plate at the moment.
Well, I'm saying we may not get him on the Mountain Outpost pod in the near future, but
we'll wrap.
At some point when he's got some time, he's a little busy, a little preoccupied right now, I'm sure, up there. So we got some people talking about, speaking of like history and running, Bob Crowley, Tim Tweetmeyer, and the Donner Party Rescue Retrace Forlorn Hope Expedition. That happened, right? Or is it happening? Do you know what I'm talking about?
This is completely over my head.
Really? Okay. They're doing a, I might be wrong, but it says they did it last month, it sounds like. So we need to dive into this maybe a little bit for next week's show. Well, I wish we had Mountain Outpost news last month. We could have learned about it. That would have been great. So we traced the Donner Party's, the survivors of the Donner Party and like how they got out of the mountains.
Mm.
And they literally were reading books and looking at maps and descriptions to figure out and try and retrace the exact path they took, starting up at Donner Pass and getting, I guess, down towards Auburn or Sacramento or whatever they ended up. So it happened before Christmas, people are saying. So
damn. Okay. Yeah. We gotta dig into that.
Oh shit. All right. I just got a call out here. Did we talk? We talked about our schedules for 2021 last time, didn't we?
No, not really.
Oh, man. Jason Hawan just asked me, Jamil, will you be entering any of the UTMB races this year if it goes ahead? Maybe I may have signed up for one. Okay.
Evasive. I like it. Maybe you're the government.
I don't know if I'm ready to talk about this.
Okay.
One's reading my mind. Okay, let's move on. What else do we got on that list?
What do we got? A few quick things from the Flatter universe. And then we got to go back. We need to go back to FKT of the year. We have not touched on this 2-1 draft. But before we get to that,
because we're we're going long already. So
deal with it. Not surprising to anyone, but U.S. track and field canceled the indoor championships, which means there's really no incentive for any pros to do any indoor races. So get excited for either this very random Arkansas like 4-meet indoor series that's apparently going to happen on ESPN, or we're going to get a bunch of weird outdoor events starting like the end of this month, which is about 3 months earlier than we normally would see it, which means we're going to have this very long drawn out hike to the Olympic trials. So if you're searching for any sort of running racing to watch, that should be coming your way and much more vivid detail in short order.
It's running 100Ks.
Or people are going to find out real quick, hey, you're probably not going to make that team. Bump it up. And then the last thing, we got to dig into this. And by we, I mean, I'll find more stories about this. But apparently, like the IOC, it's like the International Olympic Committee, and WADA are talking about disbarring the U.S. Olympic Committee. Or like putting them under increased sanctions, because apparently Congress, in passing some bill in 2020 to strengthen oversight of the Olympic Committee, overstepped the bounds that the International Committee has outlined. So Congress can now dissolve the U.S. Olympic Committee if they think like they stepped out of line, done too much, like just there's been a whole bunch of debauchery and unright things. And apparently that's illegal. Only IOC can disband national committees. So now there's this whole conversation at IOC of like, well, you know, is the U.S. program going to look like either Italy or Russia and not going to be able to fly their flag because they're out of compliance? It's a developing story, but that apparently started to become a thing this week. So highly unlikely given the just sheer amount of money that the USOC plays into both WADA and the larger Olympic infrastructure. But who knows if the reputation of America is damaged, I guess that's a card that IOC is holding. So That's it. That's the whole list of things that I had texted you about. We'll talk about Trial of Miles next week because we'll get into the finals of that. But if you have not been following the Trial of Miles, it's like FKTs, but only 4 miles or shorter and bracket style championship racing. So we'll delve into that. But we got to talk about FKTs because those are done in terms of the FKTs of the year. So, sir. Last week we went through 5, 4, and 3.
Yep.
We now have 2 and 1 announced. Enlighten us.
And I'm going to pull those up right now.
Because that's what happens on a live program. I will say before we even read those off, I think last week we both were like, we have pretty strong thoughts and guesses as to what 2 and 1 were going to be on both sides. And I can say personally, I was shocked. Super wrong for my guesses. So yeah, where are we at with that?
Yeah. I mean, let's just go through them and we can talk about it. So number 2 FKTs of the year presented by North Face. I'll give them the shout out here since they're the sponsor of it. Sabrina Stanley for her supported Nolan's 14 FKT. She said it twice in 54 days. So she had to go reclaim it from Megan Hicks who broke it. Joe Stringbean McCahey for his self-supported long trail, the oldest long-distance trail in the USA, going a day faster than the unsupported record. So self-supported, meaning pretty sure that means literally no outside aid. He carried everything with him the entire time from the start to the finish. That's incredible. That's impressive. And I've done half the long trail. And it is tough.
It's no joke.
Up there in Vermont. Goes across the state of Vermont. And drum roll, our FKTs of the year winners. Kelly Halpin for her unsupported Wind River High Route. 97 miles, 30,000 feet of gain, 65% off trail. Kind of rock climbing, essentially. Exposure. And then Joey Campanelli for unsupported Nolan's 14 FKT, 5 hours faster than the previous overall. That's impressive. I think he just destroyed it. And Nolan's has been getting faster and faster. It was kind of like what Barkley is, where the guys that would finish Nolan's were just barely under 60 hours. Oh, Kevin Hatfield says I described unsupported. Okay, I could be wrong then. Self-supported versus unsupported. There's a debate. Self-supported means he could have placed caches out there. Okay, I stand corrected. Thank you, Kevin. Yes, so Joey Campanelli, 5 hours faster. And yeah. I don't know what else to say. So who did you have? Who is missing on this list?
All right. So listen, I'm not a voter and I'm just a guy, but I don't know how. Okay. Not to demean any of those top 5 performances. They're all crazy in their own respect. Full stop. Okay. But we literally had a person who climbed 3 million plus feet of vert in a year on the incline and doesn't even get top 5. Like,
that is a travesty. Yeah. Like, Greg Cummings, 1800 inclines in 1 year. Okay. Come on, viewers, give us something here. Is anyone upset about this?
Like, the low point of the incline is what, 6,600 feet or something like that? And then goes up to 8,000. You're just like, all right, cool. Like, I'm just going to go up and down and up and down that many times in a calendar year. And this is Colorado. So it's not like, hey, it's just like nice, even keeled temperate the entire year. Like there's snow, like there's ice, there's all of these crazy conditions. It's hot as hell in the summer too. So don't want to undermine that component. And how does he not get top five?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if it's a thing of like fastest known time. Like people are looking for speed records. This is more of like an endurance record. I don't know, but it's still in the category, right? It's like the most, are there any other FKT style things that are like the most numbers of something in 1 year? Or are they all more speed based? Maybe that was something that the voters docked. I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, I can see that argument, but it's also half of these FKTs that we're seeing now are just like, let's tag a bunch of things together that are wild. And so like, it's a weird
like the 14ers, challenge.
Like the 14ers, or yeah. There's the one that was, you know, the 14ers in Colorado, the 13ers in Wyoming or whatever it was, 12 in Utah. Like I doubt that that existed. And then they're like, hey, let's just like make this thing up. And so like it, at some point, every FKT that's not a clearly defined point to point trail, like all these like circle routes are generally like, let's just do something crazy for the first time. And then you start going for speed records after that. Like,
well, there's also the little like double back on the Dipsy. So they'll do like, you know, as many Dipsies as possible in a row, mm-hmm. or many Grand Canyon crossings in a row. So it's kind of a newer part of the sport maybe that isn't as recognized. Oh, now Kevin is getting on us here. He's like Joey, fully deserving of that. Which he said, who would we bump?
See, now you gotta make me actually pull it up so I can.
I know. And okay, so yeah, we had Adam Kimball beating Killian's Tahoe Rim Trail. So would we bump that? How about David Ayala's Sierra High Route, or Eric Gilbertson for the epic Rocky Mountain Slam, 205 summit, 60 days, 432,000 feet of climb.
See, so that's the one where, again, also impressive, but like that gives credence to the incline being like acceptable. I mean, like you still got to like drive between all the mountains and go up and down. That's fine. But also, you know, if we just said, okay, the fastest you can get to 1500 descents of the incline, like just choose an arbitrary number, like could have pulled off a similar argument. So, I mean, all things considered, like I'd probably knock down Adam to six. I mean, the Tahoe Rim Trail definitely got some shine and it's a Killian record.
Yeah. I don't know about the Sierra High Route.
Yeah.
Ignorance. So I mean, maybe I wouldn't rate that as high just because I don't know it and I don't know how impressive it is or not. So that's my answer. I would maybe knock that one out.
Okay, cool. So that's where I'm at on that. Whatever. That's so, just
there we are.
We're gonna have a new category, just like most insane attempts of the year. Cause like then we're just incentivizing just like ridiculousness.
Most feet climbed in a year. It's like some sort of, I don't know, it's something.
We had all those people doing like Everesting challenges last year. And so I don't know. It's not a perfect system by any stretch, but yeah. I want to make sure he gets his shine.
Yeah. We want to give him a shout. So
yeah.
Any other closing thoughts on FKT of the year?
No, you know, I think I'll be interested to see what FKTs in 2021 look like. Mm-hmm. Obviously races are starting to come back, but folks might be a little bit hesitant to travel and participate. And I don't know what capacity limits are going to be. So could still be a year of a lot of back and forth on those FKTs. I want to see more competition. I liked seeing folks lose and then reclaim a lot of these FKTs this past year. So hoping that trend continues. There's going to be some fireworks. I'm hoping 2021, everybody got a lot of good base training in with their newfound free time, I guess. And we can take some stuff out.
I just had a bit of a thought. The Greg Cummings style, it's kind of like fixed time ultras versus, I guess, kind of your normal fixed distance a little bit. You know, it's like, all right, you got 1 year, how many inclines are you going to do? There's your, and those are, they just have a different, it's just a different niche. So mm-hmm. like this fixed time, there could be this fixed time thing. Anyways, and, yeah, and like the Grand Canyon, the crossings, it's like, you know, it's the loops. So like how many loops can you do? Just, yeah, like a lap, like a fixed time lapped type of a race. So anyway, there we go. We are still waiting on pins and needles for the performance of the year from Ultra Running Magazine. At this point, I know in the past, we talked about this last week, they've released these right around the first of the year. They were they would tease out the Ultra Runners of the Year on their Instagram page. We have not seen that yet. So I guess we're just assuming they're going to wait until the release of the February issue of Ultra Running Magazine to release that. So they're being closed lip about it, and we'll just be patient and wait. That's all we can do.
Yeah. And if you want our walkthrough of everyone who is nominated and their specific performances, that was back on episode 4, 5, whatever the one was, the last episode of 2020. So you can go back and listen to that as we went through line by line who was there and what they were nominated for. And then you can make your prioritized list and then be indignant when the performances of the year come out. So,
and hopefully we'll have a Ultra Runner of the Year in 2021. We'll see if enough events happen and enough people actually race. So that time will tell on that one.
Working on it. See, I like our odds.
Anything else this week? Do we want to do a rapid fire Q&A?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we've got 51 people here. If you guys have any rapid fire questions, we're going to go into the chat here. We did have a couple shout outs to Mike McKnight that he should have been ahead maybe. And Kevin Hadfield, he's been active in the chat. He says, Mike's was bitching, but knocking off Killian is a real thing. Truth, truth. And then he says he paced Mike for a bit. The real story was that all of his shoes were stolen the night before he got going. That was a crazy story. You heard about that one,
right? I did hear about that. Yeah, that'd be nice. Pretty.
I don't think they realized until they got to like Kennebec Pass, like 20 miles in a huge mountain. And he's like, oh yeah, hey, can you grab my whatever S-Labs out of the back of the truck? And they're like, yeah, it's gone. Stolen out of his truck the night before, his whole entire shoe bag that had everything in. So they had to scramble, I think, go to Durango Running Company and reload. So
support your local running store. That's the right. Moral of the story here.
That's right. Man. You take care of them, they'll take care of you. What is Milestone Runners?
They're down in San Diego. I got a buddy of mine, Alex Sachs. So ran with him at Mountains to Beach. And then when I was back in San Diego, I guess late September, was able to catch up with him for a run and then popped over to the store and picked up some necessary supplies. So support your local running community, folks.
Sweet. Well, I don't see too many other questions rolling in. They're just talking about Mike some more and how he ran 100 miles with 0 calories, which is not something I'm going to be doing.
No. we tried it with bee pollen and that was the furthest bridge I was going to take. So we're done.
We like our calories over here. Bill Hart Davidson, what, apart from cooperative weather, are you focusing on as the factors for 5 loops at Frozen Head this spring? There's a lot of factors to think about. The thing you can't control is the weather. So I guess the things I'm focusing on are the things within my control. So that would be probably just making sure I got the right gear, the right kind of setup that I'm putting in the work. So I've kind of got a goal in mind in terms of total amount of work I want to do between now and the race in terms of feet of climbing and total miles run. It's kind of based upon what some other people have done in the past. So that's my guide, kind of my guidance. And I've got a lot of work to do. And I'm not sure if I'm going to go out to the race in advance this year. We'll just have to see. You know, I don't want to travel more than I have to be honest, but it's still pretty valuable to get out there, you know, get out into the crappy weather, get out and like re-familiarize myself with like all of the stuff that you're allowed to run, like all the trails, and kind of memorize, and like it's like becomes like clockwork, so you just know where all your turns are. So I think those couple things are key. Question: UTMB sounds cool. Is it not? I think it's very cool. I love that race. Yeah.
Very matter of fact question.
Did I make it sound uncool?
No. Yeah, I think because you were like, I'm not talking about it.
I was being really weird.
Yeah, which is par for the course. Having never been, I think it would be one of those races that I would like to attend. I don't think I'm the person who's built for running it per se, especially.
It's a hard race. It's very hard.
But I'd hang out in Chamonix and just
chill for a week. That'd be cool. The atmosphere is insane. Everyone is like hardcore crazy fans. It's just, if you love trail running, it's the ultimate trail running race in terms of atmosphere. How can possible team events in trail running look like?
We're back to this. everything's a speed project design. I think, you know, there are two ways to go about it, right? It's you have a specific course and it's relay style, or you have, which you can make specific lengths of the legs, or just like get from point A to point B, split up however you want. Or there's the cross country style scoring, which is, you know, first place gets 1 point, second place gets 2 points, so on and so forth. And you have like very specific teams. So, you know, we're lucky enough that here in the Pacific Association for USATF, like there's a pretty good team scoring component to all of our local ultra races or within the circuit. So you'll have four or five different teams showing up. And I think it takes like three to score. And then it's like combined time of those three, I think, is like how they get ranked. But yeah, you'll be on the start line, look over, and it's like, it looks like a damn cross country race. Cause you got like seven of the same jersey next to you. And you're like, oh dude, these, you know, Palma kids are about to just like smash on me. So yeah. So there are a couple of different ways you can make it work, but it's also depend on the distance, you know?
I feel like you could also do like an adventure racing style format where you have teams of two or three that have to stay together the whole time. There's only a couple events like that, but that format sounds kind of cool because everyone on your team has ups and downs at different times, and you kind of have to work together as a unit. And that'd be interesting. You have someone who's like throwing up and all of a sudden like two other team members feel great. Well, you gotta kind of wait it out, help your teammate. Could be kind of a cool thing. I think Badwater Salt and Sea does an event like that where you have three participants, and I think you're allowed to drop one or something and still fit could be completed or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but you can't be more than like 100 feet from each other or something like that. Yeah.
Like a tether or something. So it's kind of.
So, cool. Yeah. I mean, this would be an interesting question to ask Corey as somebody who did the adventure race, at least the one that was on Amazon. I wonder if he would have interesting thoughts. But yeah, there are a couple of ways to structure it. Just depends on what you're going for and what sort of course you're looking at. Because if it's just like, hey, let's go like point to point on a very long trail, adventure race setup might not be as exciting as another format. But if it's like we're doing the Hard Rock course, it might be a different ball game just because of the sheer nature of the terrain. So.
Brian Purcell, he moved to Tennessee from California in 2019, hasn't been to Frozen Head yet. He says his goal is to get out there. Definitely. You should go check it out. It's awesome. Colorado Trail has a loose relay FKT history. It's got some more, dropping some knowledge on us over here. And
It's a 500 mile trail. So yeah, I would hope so. Somebody had to have thought of that.
Nancy Hobbs, or cumulative times will be used at World Champs this year for long and short trail mountain combined World Champs, November 2021.
We were talking, so before we hopped on, I literally was like, hey, let me send you this article. You can bring it up for Outhouse News because I haven't dug into it yet. So
sweet.
She's out here breaking. She's getting ahead of us. It's awesome. That's going to be a cool event. I have a lot of feelings on how we should be restructuring running festivals here in the United States, but I'll save that rant for another time.
Nice.
A teaser. Put in a blog because those are coming back.
Oh yeah. We got to. All right. I think that's it then. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Episode 7 of the pod. Look forward to potential guests in the future right here. Running YouTubers. That's going to be our guest format. We determined. Who knows what else we're going to do?
Yeah, honestly, who knows what else we are going to do? Yeah. But we know what you need to do. If you want to help us out, hit that subscribe button, hit the like button. Tell a friend, share this on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. Let folks know that they can watch this in between when we're live on Tuesdays, and then join us next Tuesday, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. It's like 3 a.m. in England, but like, come through, enjoy the live chat with your brethren, and we'll be here to take those questions and drop some knowledge on you guys.
All right. See you next week, everyone.
Enjoy yourselves.